the 9 o'clock hour of Cairo Nights. It's G and Mace. Means the world that you guys listen to the show. The Online Trading Academy text line. It is 98973. Now, in the 8 o'clock hour, we call it the 8 o'clock wind down. It's dedication to those that listen to the show at home and those that listen to the show at work. What are we going to call the 9 o'clock hour?
That's a good one.
You know what I mean? Like, what do we call the DB? What do we call the 9 o'clock hour? The 8 o'clock hour is the wind down.
The home stretch?
Oh, I like that. I don't think that's terrible, at least.
98973, if you have an idea.
Perfect.
We love to steal your thunder. All right, let's get to the news. What do you got?
Yeah. So I have this story that I just want to mention because the Women's World Cup is happening right now, and I didn't know. And the U.S. women's soccer team, they are the defending champions. They won the thing last year, and they are the favorite to win this year. But, you know, because it's women's sports, we don't hear about it or follow it ever. Well, the women's team in their first World Cup match dominated Thailand 13-0. 13-0 in a soccer game. This broke 4 World Cup records. Most goals scored by a team in a World Cup match, men's or women's. That's a record that has stood since 1982. The largest margin of victory in a World Cup match. We beat El Salvador. Hungary beat El Salvador 10-1. So 9 was the spread. Now it's 13. They tied for the most goals scored in a game by a player, Alex Morgan. She scored 5 goals. She shares the record with Michelle Akers in 1991. And the record for most individual goal scorers in a single World Cup match. There were more players on that team that each got a chance at scoring a goal than ever before in a World Cup match. And, gee, the craziest part is going into the half. They play 2 45-minute halves in soccer. Mm-hmm. Going into the half, it was 3-0.
Yeah. 3-0.
10 goals in 45 minutes.
I'm happy, but I'm bothered.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm happy, but I'm bothered by the women scoring 13 goals. 13-0. Mm-hmm. Nobody has done this, men or women, on the stage. Alex Morgan had 5 goals in the game. That's more goals than some have in their career sometimes. Mm-hmm. She had 5 in one game. But I'm upset.
Why? Why are you upset, Jay?
Because money.
Mm.
Money. Why are women soccer still making much less than men's soccer?
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is let's go to some numbers here. Sometimes U.S. women's soccer players can earn as little as 40% of what men on the national team rake in.
Wow.
Okay. According to Schumer here, on the Senate floor, they talked about women players earning a base salary of $3,600 per game, while men earn $5,000 per game.
Wow.
Sometimes bonuses on this national stage, if they get further enough on the national stage, women make up to $15,000 for their bonus, where men make up to $80,000 sometimes on bonuses. Alex Morgan makes $300,000 a year she makes. So here's my deal. By the way, men's soccer hasn't even been qualifying. Women's soccer's been doing their thing.
Yep.
The magical moment, 1999. DB, I don't know where you were, but 1999, I remember I was watching U.S. soccer against China. It goes, do you call it overtime? Don't make fun of me. I don't know if it's called overtime.
I think it's extra time or extra minutes.
Extra minutes.
Yeah. All right. It went to extra minutes. And we know the shootout, which was my favorite, and Brandi Chastain.
Oh,
I think it was the fifth one. She goes and she scores it and wins it. That was a phenomenal moment. And I thought then I was like, yes, I am going to get into soccer. This is going to be great. Nope. No. I still like women's soccer.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know why? Because they win. Because U.S. women's soccer win. And that's why I like them. And they need to get paid more money.
They're the best in the world.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that? They actually win. All right. Before we get to the next topic, are you going to talk about the next one with the New York deal?
Yeah. I can, or you can.
Okay.
Go for it, buddy.
But folks are texting in, and I like it. See what you think. 425 says the 9 o'clock hour should be the after party.
Ooh.
425 says the deep in.
Mm-hmm.
206 says 9 o'clock should be shoes off. Ooh. 206 says the 9 o'clock hour should be called the nightcap.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I like that, too.
That's a really good one.
I'm going to write these down. We're going to have like a meeting.
Yeah, 206 says the nightcap. I actually kind of like this. Anyway, all right, let's get to the news, man. Let's get to people some news. What do you got for us?
So there is a bill that is being proposed in New York State, and if passed, it will make New York the first state to fully legalize sex work and eliminate prior criminal records related to most sex work charges. The bill will make it legal to both sell and buy sex under specific circumstances, and it will regulate the actual places where prostitution happens. It will make working conditions safer for sex workers. It will be the first in the nation, G, but there are a few things that would still be illegal. This isn't a Wild West free-for-all. Prostitution in a school zone, that'd be illegal. And sex trafficking and anything related to any minors. That's, of course, those are still off the books. But this is New York's way of saying, hey, prostitution is a thing. It's the oldest profession, as they say. And maybe if we decriminalize it, it will make it work for everyone.
There you go. Love everything about this, and here's why. Let's decriminalize it. Let's tax it. Let's go ahead and use that tax for higher education for those that's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Another reason why I like it, we can now go and focus and go after sex traffickers.
Yep.
There is so much positiveness to this.
Yep.
The world would be safer if you decriminalize this.
I agree.
Period.
Yeah.
It would be safer. Like, I don't have a problem with the X. I have a problem with these pimps that are out there.
Yeah.
I have a problem with these pimps that say, oh, okay, I'm going to go get adult women. I'm going to go and go around schools and grab 13, 14-year-olds and grab them. This way, we can really cut down, kind of cut the grass a little bit.
Yep.
See, decriminalizing it would cut the grass. And then we could kind of see, oh, there's a snake. Mace, let's go get that snake.
It's the best analogy ever. I love that. And this is really, for sex workers, especially female sex workers, this is a very dangerous thing. When it's illegal, when it's done in the dark, when it's in back alleys and cars in the middle of the night, like you get yourself into a situation over and over again that is potentially life threatening when you get in a car with a stranger or hang out. If you legalize and regulate this, then there is a security staff. There is potential health testing and health care. I mean, this is good stuff.
Tax it.
Tax the crap out of it. That's fine. Make it real expensive. Sure, no problem with that. I talked about this a couple years ago on a podcast I used to do.
Okay.
And one of my listeners was disabled. And I think it was a he, wrote in and talked about how for lots of people who have a disability or maybe a physical abnormality, the idea of human touch is so rare and so foreign, they never get touched by anyone. And that is such an important component to the human experience. That's a need that we all have. And the idea that they don't have to be so insecure and so scared and constantly rejected and repulsing people that they're going after, they can just sort of get this fix and move on about their day.
Hold up. I got to be honest about something.
Yeah.
I've never in my life heard that example before.
I hadn't either.
I've never, DB, have you ever heard? I've never heard that example.
Not that specific example, but I have heard people talking about using sex work mostly just as a way to have sort of a touch, you know, a sensory sort of, because, yeah, you're right, Aaron. People need a certain amount of embrace from of human to human sort of tangible connection. And that's something that a lot of people cannot get.
Yep.
My mind is blown because it's another reason to decriminalize it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like somebody that is handicapped or somebody who's lonely, who doesn't get any type of touch.
Right.
So should you just say, well, okay, sorry for you. And now he or she takes the chance of becoming a criminal,
right,
by paying for that. I've never thought about that.
Yeah.
Absolutely genius. And another reason to decriminalize it. I want to talk about the decriminalization of this more often. I should write about it.
I'm down.
I should write about it.
I'm down to do it.
What do you got?
So, some kids are picky eaters. Right.
Okay.
And I've never had kids, but I've been around kids, and kids don't love their vegetables. And so I've seen a lot of different ways to try and basically trick children into eating vegetables. You grind them up and you put them in a cupcake and they think they're having dessert. Well, Kraft, they have decided to put ranch dressing in a container that looks like a frosting container, and they're calling it salad frosting. I got a problem with this.
I do too. Go ahead.
Besides just lying to children, here's the deal. Like, ranch dressing is not healthy. When you compare ranch dressing and frosting, Pillsbury Creamy Supreme Vanilla Frosting per serving has 140 calories, 5 grams of fat. Ranch dressing, 110 calories, and 11 grams of fat. That's awful. Ranch is not good for you. Frosting has more sugar, sure, but the idea here, I think, is instead of trying to trick kids into doing something, you need to explain to them, like, I know this isn't sugary, this isn't sweet, but you need to eat these things. It's important that your body gets vitamins and nutrients, and sort of explain the idea to them instead of trickery.
You know what it reminds me of?
Hmm.
Foods out there, foods or drinks that fool us into thinking, oh, I'm getting something healthy.
Yep.
And this is that example using, okay, little kids, get your salad frosting. And you might as well, like you said, you just showed the number. You might as well get regular frosting.
Right.
But it reminds me of things like Gatorade.
Mm.
Like when I see people drinking Gatorades, I'm like, you do know that is a lot of sugar.
Yes, sir.
That's a diabetic sports drink. That's a lot of sugar.
And your butt's on the couch. You're not out there on the tennis court.
Yeah, but that's another thing. Like, I notice, like, when athletes become pro and they're starting to take care of their bodies and diets,
mm-hmm.
they will take a regular Gatorade bottle and dump out half the Gatorade and fill the rest with water.
Mm. Light Gatorade.
Light Gatorade.
I like it.
Another.
Gentle Gatorade.
Another food group that really gets me that I used to think was healthy, bran muffins.
Ugh.
You know what I mean? You just think, oh, you know, I'm going to eat light. I'm not going to eat a... You might as well have pancakes, eggs, and bacon.
They have these muffins downstairs, and I used to eat them for breakfast every once in a while. And I was like, okay, sure, it's a chocolate muffin. So I figured I was taking a little bit of a hit there. I think it's got almost 800 calories, this one muffin. I had to stop eating them. I blew up like 30 pounds.
See? Okay, so is that the brand muffins was hitting a lot of people?
Yeah.
Before social media. Like, people were like, oh, you know, I'm just going to stop off and grab me a muffin. Did you have a big breakfast? No, I just had a muffin.
No, just a muffin. It's just half my daily calories.
Well, and we were just talking about fruit. Fruit is a massive amount of sugar.
Right.
That is going straight to your thighs.
Ooh.
Agree 100% on that.
Okay, let me ask you a question, because I don't know nothing about no health. Is like natural sugar that's in fruit naturally, is that any better or worse than sugar that would be in a Gatorade or something?
That's better. The fruit that you're going to get inside of the sugar you're going to get in the fruit is going to be better than the one you get in Gatorade.
It's better for your overall health because it's not like refined sugars.
Right.
That being said, it is still sugar and it's gonna have an effect on your body if you're eating a bunch. If you're like gorging yourself with fruit, that's a lot of sugar still.
You see me eat strawberries?
206 brings a good point up. And here's the last one we're going to use. You ready for this? Diet soda.
Oh, man.
Now, I got to say, I think that is probably ranked number one.
Yep.
As far as one of the drinks, you're like, hey, no sugar, no calorie.
It says diet.
It's diet
soda. It's good
soda.
For you.
That right there really tore everybody up.
Uh-huh.
Like, at one point, I used to drink diet soda because I didn't know. Nah, I just don't really drink soda. It's not my thing. Oh, I take that back. Yes, I do. Probably once every other month, I go and I indulge in a Mountain Dew. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah,
man.
Ugh. I can't tell you the last time I had a Mountain Dew. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'll treat myself to a Coca-Cola. Every once in a while,
but
not diet.
Oh, you know what else is good though?
Mm-mm.
A good cold Sprite.
Mm.
Just get it hit the back of your. Karen Knights, everybody, coming up next, we got Mace's story. So you know we do that every night at 9:30, and Mace usually is pretty weird. I ain't gonna lie, but it's Mace's stories. So we do that next. Kara Knights, G and Mace.
Welcome back to Cairo Knights. My name is Aaron Mason. Here with G Scott. 9:30. It's time for Mace's Stories.
Mace's Stories!
Yeah. So yesterday I talked about cool stuff Canada was doing. Because they're going to ban single-use plastics by 2020.
Okay.
Good looking out, Canada. Well, here's part two. Something different, but equally as cool, I think. The Canadian media is calling it the Free Willy Bill. Its government name is the Ending the Captivity of Whales and Dolphins Act, and it outlaws captivity, breeding, trade, possession, and capture of cetaceans,
so like
dolphins,
this.
Porpoises, whales, all that stuff. Yeah,
okay.
It's so great. The measure was first introduced in 2015.
Okay.
So they've been working at it for a while, but it passed by a very wide margin in the House of Commons yesterday. And Lori Marino, she is the president of the Whale Sanctuary Project. She said in a statement that whales are among the most cognitively complex of all animals, and confining them to life in a concrete tank is truly unbearable for them.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about whales that have free reign of the ocean.
Yep.
And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we know how much the ocean covers the earth. We don't have to get into that part of school. So they're able to go any and everywhere. Can you imagine? They are on a constant vacation, if you will. Uh-huh. They're on a free vacation. They know where all the food is. Mm-hmm. They know where it's going to be. I'm going to go to this buffet around this part of the ocean. Uh-huh. They know, the weather's getting bad. Time to go. They have treats free travel, everything. They lived the life. And then, Mace, all of a sudden, one day, they're captive and they're held. Mm. And so somebody's thinking right now, well, gee, what's the big deal? Imagine you listening right now being held in a closet for the rest of your life.
Right.
Right now.
Right.
Right now, you are held captive in a closet. You cannot travel the world anymore. You can't go and come and go as you please. You are trapped for the rest of your life. Well, people say, well, as long as they bring you food, as long as you're, you know, you get cleaned up. Okay. Would you like to live in a closet
right.
for the rest of your life?
Right.
And be bathed and fed?
And you never get to see your family again.
Nope.
Which is a huge thing because whales are like social animals. Orcas form societies along like mom lines, you know, they're like maternal and they pod up and they relate to one another. They're such advanced creatures mentally, whales, dolphins, emotionally complex, just like us. Mm-hmm. And you see what happens when we put people in solitary confinement. It's mental torture. Did you ever see Blackfish, that documentary?
No.
It's from 2013, and it focuses a lot on SeaWorld. Tilikum, orca that killed its trainer.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was some wild stuff going on down there at SeaWorld.
Yeah, it's no joke. And SeaWorld in 2016, the company had 29 orcas in its different parks, San Diego, Orlando, San Antonio, and in Spain. And after that movie, agreed to stop breeding them and phase out orcas in their parks. So they got a lot of pressure. 60 million people, I think, watched Blackfish. So
yeah, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to ask me if I watched season 5 of Black Mirror.
Oh,
by the way, there's only 3 episodes.
Yeah, right.
And I've already seen episode 1.
I can only watch one at a time. And then I have to spend like days in between at minimum.
Did you see 1?
No, not yet. I'm bracing myself.
Man, I'm just Black Mirror, everybody. If you have not seen Black Mirror, please. No, you can watch. It doesn't matter what order you watch it. They're all self-contained.
Yep.
Just whatever, any plots that you've thought of and that you've watched in your life, you ain't never seen this because it's the most different plots that you'll ever see.
If you that show is what happens if you ask me what I think about the future. I feel like it's just up on the screen right there.
That's your world.
100%.
Yeah, that's your world.
Big time. Do we have a minute?
Yeah, we go. Good.
Okay, because this is a very Black Mirror story.
Okay.
Facial recognition enabled smart glasses. I want to talk about this.
Okay.
Because there's an American company, Vuzix. They're making the actual frames,
mm-hmm.
but this Dubai-based firm is providing these facial recognition algorithms. And what they say is, you can wear these glasses, and they look pretty much like normal glasses.
Okay.
And they're not hooked up to the internet. They have a little database, like hard drive, you can wear with you. And it will, in a second, and even if it's a huge crowd of people, it can recognize your face. It knows who you are. It can read emotion to a degree. It uses...
Mm-hmm. Let's put it in layman's terms.
Yeah.
So let's just say somebody comes into the bar.
Yep.
With those glasses on.
Right.
And the glasses are hooked to their device mm-hmm. in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just kind of, you know, checking the place out, coming in, okay, seeing some people, see if they see somebody that they know. And then meanwhile, there's somebody off to the side that doesn't want to, I see somebody coming in, I don't want them to see me. So are you saying that the person coming in with the smart glasses can look at their phone or the device and say, this Aaron Mason's here?
It's worse than that. They don't have to look at a device. It shows up on their glasses lens, like the Terminator.
On who's there.
Yes.
Don't like it.
And so...
No.
Yeah.
No. Do you know how many times I'll see somebody come in the door and I'll pretend like I'll make sure they don't see me?
Mm-hmm. Dude, this is bad.
And this is bad.
And if you follow it out to its logical conclusions, two things. One, we've already seen examples of in China. They're using this to oppress people. They're using it to...
Is that the social credit?
No, it's different from social credit. This just, when they have like rallies or meetings or protests, let's say, they can recognize people as journalists or dissidents, and they can use that to keep people out. Mm. And so they can decide whoever's on the no list and recognize you immediately.
Okay, wait a minute. Okay, I'm back on the train. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
You know, as some of these white supremacist situations?
Sure.
Or these Proud Boys situations? Let me take those glasses. And let me... Oh, that's a fireman? Oh, that's a politician? Oh, and I just come back and report back. Coming up next, we do What's On Your Mind. It's an opportunity for you to tell us what's on your mind, and we tell you what's on ours. Kara Knights, Gia Mace. Nights, everybody. It's G and Mace. Of course, Frank Shires is here, and DB is on the ones and twos. Means the world that you guys listen to the show. It's now time for What's On Your Mind. It's an opportunity for us to tell you what's on our mind and you to tell us what's on yours. To do that, Texas 98973 is the Online Trading Academy text line. We'll love to hear from you. Frank Shires,
yes,
you're going first. What do you got, buddy?
Hey, listen, I just want to say, you know, we don't talk about the ratings here in the night show or anywhere else in the radio station a lot. Mm-hmm. But we did just came in. And all that really needs to be said, I think, is thank you. You know, first of all, it's an honor and a delight for me to get to work with you two. Mm-hmm. And DB,
yeah,
of course.
Thanks,
I mean,
man.
You're just, Lord, I've had a rather relatively long career, one of the nicest experiences I've ever had.
Oh, wow.
Working. And I got to thank the audience because they, you know, those of you who are listening, we know you're there. You're telling us that you're there. Mm-hmm. And we are so, as you say, G, very grateful. Mm-hmm. Love you for doing that.
Yeah.
You know, it's really nice to have you there. And that's been on my mind all night. I'm just very pleased with the warmth that we're getting, the love we're getting from the audience back at you.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, thanks, Frank. Sure.
We've taken, this is kind of on my mind too, if you don't mind, but we've made some intentional decisions, you and I, G, about what to do with the show and what not to do. Mm-hmm. And we really went with what we believed in.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear that that's resonating,
mm-hmm,
and that people are enjoying,
yeah,
what we're doing, it just, that's so fulfilling. Like, it feels really good.
And what we talked about is leave your politics at the door.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That is what we talked about.
Yep.
And we just thought that right now, over the last 18 months, doesn't matter where your politics are, you're pretty tired.
Mm-hmm.
You're tired.
Oh, my Lord.
You're
totally
tired.
You're done with it.
Right,
yep.
Right. And look, I know that, I mean, there's some topics where that we might discuss and we might be talking about that. But as far as, like, the goal, like, the goal, if I'm going to sit at your dinner table, if I want to sit at your dinner table and break bread with you and your family, I am not going to try to change your mind on anything.
Yeah.
I'm just going to enjoy some of that. Okay, can I get another dinner roll? I'm just going to enjoy the food.
Yeah, I feel like people, you invite us into your homes when you listen to us. And that's how I see it.
I mean, we're in your homes. We're in your cars. Mm-hmm. We're at your workstation. We're in your restaurants. Everywhere.
The old thing they used to say is radio is a one-to-one medium.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're listening to us and we're talking to you, it's just the two of us.
Yeah.
Yep. And we love that.
Just the two of us. We can make it if we try.
Just the two of us.
Just well, the two of us.
Had to. And he did it. He hit it just right.
He did hit it right. What's on my mind? I got about a minute left. And yesterday, last night, Kevin Durant was hurt in the basketball game, ruptured his Achilles tendon. And those with floor seats, there were some fans that were cheering
clapping. Ugh. Right? And then the commentators were like, oh, this is just a classy, classless display of fan and sportsmanship. Can I believe that? And so that carried over into the next morning, this morning, and I was watching SportsCenter, and I was watching the highlights, and that was the biggest conversation, where all of the fans that were clapping during a time which Kevin Garnett hurt himself. Mm-hmm. And so like, oh, are this the way Raptor fans are? I can't believe that, blah, blah, blah. And I said, hold up. See, this is what we deal with in our country.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing.
Mm-hmm.
There was probably about 25,000 at the game.
Yep.
I would say maybe 500 were clapping. You know what I mean?
Like cheering the injury.
Yeah. So that's 500. You still have 19,500.
Tiny percentage right? of total.
And then that doesn't count those at home
right.
and all of the fans. So you can't even see the majority of the fans. And by the way, Canada has, this is the most watched sporting event, last night's game, in Canadian history.
Really?
Yes.
Even over hockey.
Wow.
Yes, this right here has been
wow.
big.
That's a big deal.
So when you have that mm-hmm. and you take the percentages, that's a very small percent.
Tiny.
But the story is
right.
a generalization of a fan base based on a few. So when people are calling like, oh, man, cops, oh, man, white people are racist, oh, man, squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Right. Yeah.
And the reason, the only thing we hear are the negativity. So when we look on social media, we see some of the trolls that say some of the mean and nasty things that go on. That's a small percentage of the world. Most people walking around that you see at the grocery store, man, they ain't trying to be racist against nobody. Mm-mm. They try to, hey, look here, man, I'm trying to get me a loaf of bread, gallon of milk, and I'm trying to get home.
That's it. Living their life.
Oh, there's my analogy right there. Time to go. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Get on dude. Out of here.
It's a good time.
We'll see you guys tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Be here, be there, be square. Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. Be good.